I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast.
I'm KD.
And I'm Cassidy.
And we're here today to talk about... What's this movie called?
Mads.
Mads with a capital Mads. S.
Yeah, Mads with a capital S. But first, we're going to play a little game.
Yes.
Tell them what it is, Katie.
A game week. Yeah. Well, we have scoured the internet for some of the funniest reviews of randomly generated films. And we're going to have each other guess what films the reviews are about.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to be pretty easy, but...
These are, FYI, movies that we have done episodes on, so...
Only not... 165 to choose from.
Yeah, not incredibly random, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, randomly generated from a list of the movies about which we have done a podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll give you one first, and then you have to guess the film.
Okay.
Okay, this is from Letterboxd. Click now. Horny bisexual granny is dying for young, fresh meat.
X.
Yep.
Nice. Okay. Oh, it's my turn. Okay.
It's your turn.
Sorry, I was so locked in. I was ready for more. Okay. Mm-hmm. Easiest one first. Twinkies aren't even that good, but if my good friend Woody likes them, then I suppose I do too.
Zombieland.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He does seem like he'd be a good friend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure.
Easy one.
Okay.
I really liked the part where it followed them.
If it's not It Follows, that'd be really funny. But I am going to guess It Follows.
It is It Follows.
That's a good one, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. Next one for you. Before you make any big decision, just wait 5 minutes.
What? Before you make any big decision, just wait 5 minutes. Okay, it's a movie in which if somebody had waited 5 minutes...
Maybe less than 5 minutes.
The Mist.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, maybe just 90 seconds, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yikes. It's kind of a longer one. Kay. A film made the way in which cinema is meant to be seen, so that the asshole sitting next to you, scarfing down popcorn like a rabid squirrel, actually feels like an asshole, in addition to merely being one.
Oh. A movie that would make someone who's scarfing down popcorn feel like an asshole?
Mm-hmm. I can give you a hint.
Yeah.
The key word is scarfing, and it doesn't have anything to do with the word scarf. Like, the item scarf, that's a verb.
Yeah, thank you. I wasn't making that connection.
Okay,
I was thinking cannibalism, if I'm being completely honest.
Oh, dear.
But based on that reaction, now I'm not thinking that anymore. No. The menu.
No.
Oh.
Perhaps like a rabid squirrel also? Think about somebody scarfing down popcorn like a rabid squirrel. Like, imagine that in your little mind's eye.
Yeah.
What movie would you not want to be doing that during? What, like, if you're in the movie and you're doing that?
A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place.
That's okay. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Valid.
Yeah.
All right. Men only have two moods. One, ah, I am insane with anger. And two, we're going to beat your ass, bitch.
What? Is this the one that it's a quote?
Yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. The two lead actors, one is saying each line.
What was the first line? Ah, what?
I am insane with anger.
What the fuck? Is it a comedy?
No. That part is funny, but it is not a comedy.
Okay.
if that helps.
Oh, shit. Okay. Men.
Yeah.
Two men.
I'll say they're attempting to be intimidating during this part.
Sounds like a break-in.
Kind of.
Okay. Kind of a break-in?
There is someone on their property they do not want there. Or something on their property.
Tremors?
No. That is a comedy.
You're right.
Yeah.
Shoot, I need more.
Perhaps someone is invading their property.
An alien? Is it M. Night Shyamalan?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that really does narrow it down, but I can't remember the name of the movie. Signs.
It's Signs.
Okay.
It's when they're like running around the house trying to, because they think someone like.
Oh, that's right.
It's one, yeah.
Yes.
Mel Gibson's like, I am insane with anger.
Oh, shoot.
That one was hard.
Yeah, that was a little hard. Okay. I will accept two answers for this one.
Okay. Oh.
This would never happen to me because I avoid other people at all costs.
Something with people, obviously.
Yes.
Interacting with people. So many movies are about interacting with people.
Yeah.
Two answers makes me think there's an original and a remake.
Perhaps.
Dawn of the Dead.
No. I could give you another review.
Yes, please.
Okay. Gotta learn how to say no, bro.
The hit classic Yes Man starring Jim Carrey.
No. Funny, though.
Gotta learn how to say no.
Would you like another hint?
Yeah.
It is an original and remake.
I kind of figured that. Speak No Evil?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you do have to learn how to say no.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. All right, I think you can get this one.
Okay.
I don't really know what I expected, but there was way more Bill Clinton screen time than I was both mentally and physically prepared for.
Long legs?
Yes. Which is so true.
Honestly? Yeah. Like, we knew it was set in the 90s, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Just really had to drive it home. Funny. Since seeing that, I've wondered if the police station in which they were filming, maybe it was a soundstage, I don't know, but if they were filming in a soundstage, if it had a picture of the current president in it, or not a soundstage. I'm going to start over. If they were filming in a real police office, I'm going to start over. If they were filming in a real police station and there was a picture of the current president on there, if they just replaced it and we're just assuming they decided to put, like, they were just, you know what I'm saying?
Got it. Like, it wasn't, it was more just a, oh, they have this. We should put the one of this time period there.
Yeah.
Rather than we're making a police office, put Bill Clinton in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who's to say? Oz Perkins. Let us know.
Oh, I was going to ask Nicolas Cage himself. But...
Great. Either one. All right. Your turn.
Has a doctor ever killed your father and you used voodoo to get him back? Yeah, me too.
Killing of a sacred deer.
Yeah. That was the top critics review on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one I will accept two answers for as well.
Thank you.
This is going to be very easy, but. I'm so glad Texas isn't real.
The Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah, the one and only.
This one should be pretty easy. It's definitely not the funniest one.
Oh, okay.
It starts in the woods in 1983 and ends up in some crazy fantasy land that I don't understand, but I love it nonetheless.
In the woods in 1983?
And then ends up in some crazy fantasy land.
The first movie that came to mind is Mandy, but I don't think that's
it. It's Mandy.
It?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, I don't remember remember that taking place in the 80s, so I was like, I don't think that's it, but
it's Mandy.
It did, yeah, it gave 80s vibes.
It did give 80s vibes, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Killing rich people got to be one of the best genres ever.
The Menu.
No.
What?
I know.
Give me a hint.
Let me look up another review.
Okay.
They're all so obvious besides that one. But I have to do it because it's funny. I really want to do a line of the Unicoke too.
I don't remember what that movie's called. Killing of a Sacred Unicorn or something.
Very close, actually.
Unicorn. Death of a Unicorn?
Yes, Death of a Unicorn.
Unicoke.
That's good.
That's pretty good. Last one?
Yeah.
Never in a million years did I think a movie that would make me contemplate my existence would also have Dire Day Sandstorm in it.
Oh, I know, because I read that when we did it. Is it one of our recent episodes?
It's pretty recent.
Yeah, I was like, I just read that review, so I know. But I don't remember which one had that song in it. I need a hint.
It was in Europe, I think. And the main actor or actress is not European. And it was one of their first movies.
That all made it more confusing.
How?
I don't know.
Last 10 episodes. How many could that possibly apply to?
Yeah, the ones I'm thinking of that we've done recently is like Under the Skin, but I don't remember. Is that it?
Yeah.
That was not one of her first movies.
What do you mean?
It was just one of the first ones, like, before she really took off.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
I was thinking, like, first movie this actor's ever done. So I was like, oh, it can't be that.
One of her early movies, then.
That was, like, around the same time as Avengers.
Fine. It was a movie that she was in. She was in this movie. You still got it, even with a bunk clue.
Sorry. I don't know why I'm apologizing. You apologize.
No.
All right, last one for you.
Okay.
This is going to be hard because you don't know character names.
No.
I wish Randy had a Letterboxd.
Randy?
Mm-hmm.
From Scream?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Scream?
No.
Oh. What the fuck? Two.
Yes, it's Scream 2. Okay.
I mean, I was right.
You were right.
Thank you.
I just, you know, had to draw it out. It's the last one.
Yeah. Wow. Fun.
That was fun.
Little letterbox review roundup.
Yeah, the reviews are funny.
They really are. I was literally just saying I hate when people are funnier than me, but
yeah.
Letterboxd is the place to go for funny reviews.
All right, should we talk about Mads?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, I'll give us a rundown.
Okay.
18-year-old Romaine has just graduated and makes a stop at his dealer's place to try a new drug. As he heads off to a party, he sees an injured woman on the side of the road and decides to help her. But when she gets in his car and suddenly smashes her own head against the dashboard, bleeding out until she dies, is this a bad trip or is this something else? One thing is for sure, it's only the beginning of the night. That's from Rotten Tomatoes. This was written and directed by David Moreau. It stars Lucille Guime, Lori Pavi, and Milton Rich. Riche? They're all French names. I'm so sorry. I wasn't able to find any information on the budget for the film, but I am going to assume that it was low. It did make $49,816 at the box office. However, that number is just from the two countries that it released theatrically in, which was Romania and Hungary. Shudder did buy the distribution rights for North America, UK, Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand, but I don't know how much they bought it for, so I don't know. It currently has a 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb, a 3.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd, a 67% audience score, and a 94% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
Yeah.
People.
Critics like it.
Watched it.
People thought it was fun.
Yeah. They watched.
Yeah, they saw it. They said, that's a fine film.
Yeah. Wow. Well, who do we agree with? Tune in next week to find out. Just kidding.
No.
in a couple minutes.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the biggest fun fact about this film is that it was shot in one take. Well, not one take. One shot. It's one continuous shot.
Yes. There are no cuts.
No cuts.
They did 5 takes, though.
Mm-hmm.
To get it. Got it on the last. The last take they did is the one that we see.
Yeah. And it was the last take they were allowed to do, basically, with the budget constraints.
Yep. They only had 1 week of rehearsal with the crew. And then they had 1 week with the actors on set, which I think they also rehearsed with the actors not on set and then got time on set. And basically at the beginning, they were just using like an iPhone to figure out which, like what angle they wanted the shots from and stuff, because they didn't have all of the actual equipment that they needed yet. Yeah, 1 week of crew, 1 week of rehearsals, film, 1 week of filming.
Crazy.
Yeah.
According to the cinematographer, Philip Lozano, of the 5 days, started on a Monday. Monday was a disaster. Nothing worked. Tuesday, they had technical challenges. Wednesday, there was a huge storm. They almost had to cancel. They did get their first full take on Wednesday, but it wasn't that great. The fourth take, they made it through. The director didn't love it. And then the fifth take, everyone nailed it. And he said, Philip Lozano said, that the actors, the director, everyone was crying. The director made them hold that last shot longer than he'd done on any of the previous 4 takes. So after that, there was just this huge sigh of relief throughout the entire production. Yeah. Fun.
Yeah, that would be a wild thing to do. I know too, I think it was like after the second day, Moreau said that multiple people came up to him and were like, I think we need to write in a few cuts. Like, I don't think we're going to be able to do this. We need to figure out like where we can cut if we can, just in case. And he was like, no, we're doing this. We can do this. And just power through. Cause that was, I mean, the entire reason. I mean, that was the premise of the movie, basically.
Yeah. In real time, one continuous shot. It was inspired by the 2015 film Victoria. And the director, Moreau, felt that that technique added realism that made it seem like almost like a documentary.
Yeah. And that movie is almost 2.5 hours long.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So that one's even crazier.
One Cut of the Dead is also one cut, right? That's the point.
One Cut of the Dead is one cut, but it's the last 30 minutes.
Yes.
Is the one cut.
Yes.
Of the Dead.
Yeah, so it was only 30 minutes.
Yeah, which, yeah, sometimes you see that in films. There's another movie on our list that we'll get to eventually that has, I think, like a 40 or a 45 minute one scene, like one shot. But yeah, doing it for 1.5 hours or 2.5 hours is a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
They also, speaking of One Cut of the Dead, they used a GoPro to film the filming of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, David Moreau said there is so much footage of behind the scenes of them filming this. Mm-hmm. And he said eventually he does want to work on getting that released. There's just so much footage that they have to kind of parse through and obviously like figure out how they're going to do that. But he knows that it would be of interest to movie lovers. So, and I want to see it. I think that'd be sick.
I would love to see that. That's what made One Cut of the Dead so great, is that you got to see both sides of it.
Yeah, and then the secret third side at the very end.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely hope that he follows through with that and actually releases it.
Agreed. Not to jump too far ahead, but he also said that there's a potential prequel or sequel. He said that he's started writing some lines about something that could happen to Julia specifically. And then also a possibility of other characters that we've already met coming back in some way or another.
I'd watch it.
Yeah. Just more to look forward to.
Yeah. Because they were doing obviously one long take, they were able to show the crew the shots from the previous day. So they like treated it like dailies, and they basically like had this little movie theater that they would take everybody into and watch the shot from the day before. And Moreau said that he was inspired by a book he read about how Pixar does their movies and how they like, it's really interactive. Like everybody kind of participates and gives feedback on it. So he did the same thing. He kind of would, they'd watch it and then he'd open the floor and be like, who's having problems? Like, what can we fix? What can we do better? Like, got everybody to kind of speak up and talk about it. So he said it was really collaborative. And it was also just kind of nice because on a typical movie, you film a scene and then 3 to 5 months later, that take is ready for you to watch. Mm-hmm. And this was, here's what we did yesterday. What do we think?
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
The director also said that the most difficult scene to film was the sequence at the beginning where Romaine is driving the injured woman to the hospital. Because the car was such a tight space to work in, and they intentionally found an American car for that reason and for that scene because it gave them the extra space. I mean, one, Romain was a rich kid. It was not unfathomable that he would have an imported fancy looking car. And then two, they needed that extra space and it gave them the opportunity to move around a little bit. And in that scene, every single move of both the cameraman and the two actors is choreographed.
You'd think you'd have to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's true for the entire movie.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to choreograph not only the actor, but then the director of photography, like moving through those spaces as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they got like a specific camera just for this movie because mm-hmm. they wanted something that gave the feel of being handheld but also kept steady enough that people weren't like throwing up 25 minutes into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically this camera that was like in a little box that was attached to the director of photography's why do I keep saying the director of photographers, he directed them to take photography. No, but yeah, it was basically like strapped to his chest so he could move around and because he was getting on and off cars, he was getting strapped in where they needed to follow people on moving vehicles and
mm-hmm.
said it was a very physical job for him.
Yeah, he was the only cinematographer for the entire production. He was the only one with the camera. It was the only camera and it is to this day the only rig like that in the world.
Mm.
And they test out a bunch of different cameras. They had a custom rig built, like you mentioned, that they also had to think about being as light as possible. So the final rig ended up being 26 pounds. And Philip Lozano, the cinematographer, had to go through 4 weeks of cardio and strength training to be able to hold that for the duration of the full shots.
For 90 minutes. And not just standing there holding it.
Yeah. And like 5 days in a row.
5 days in a row. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, they only did one take per day. They could only do one take per day, but.
Yeah. Well, still. And did we mention why they could only do one take in a day?
No, tell them why, Katie.
Because they did it in real time and they started right at sundown. So there was only one sundown a day, obviously, to capitalize.
He wanted the first part of the movie to be in light.
Mm-hmm. And the rest to be in the dark.
Yep. So kind of only one opportunity for that.
Yeah. Did you go into this movie knowing it was one shot?
No.
How long did it take you to figure it out?
I realized it was one shot pretty early on, but I remember thinking, oh, this is cool. Like when the title card comes down,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this is cool. They're doing a one shot to open the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember when he got to his house, that's when I was like, oh, they're still going.
Yeah.
And I remember like, getting pumped up. I was so excited. I was like, wait, okay. I'm locked in now.
Yeah. It took me much longer.
Oh.
It took me probably 30 minutes before I was like, I don't think there's been a single cut. And then the rest of the movie to verify that there was no more cuts.
Yeah.
And then just every subsequent minute after that 30 minutes, I was like, wait, it's still going. It's still going. It's still going.
Well, and sometimes, because I did look it up afterwards just to be sure as well, because that's what I thought was happening, but I was like, just in case, because sometimes you can't, there are ways to hide it if you want to, like when you move the camera one way or, you know, going into a dark area, those are times when typically you'll cut and keep going because you can hide it that way. But I was like, oh, this is a cool like one shot opening. And then I think when he's like taking his clothes off and getting in the shower and it just kept going, I was like, oh, what am I in for?
Maybe my favorite fun fact here was that they obviously had to scout a location that allowed them to go into all the different buildings, go down all the different amounts of streets, drive a certain distance. The stretch of location that they found is over the course of 6 miles. So throughout the film, they move 6 miles in that time. It's crazy that I just like the thought of like having to find the perfect 6 mile stretch of location is insane.
Yeah.
And they basically shut down that entire area because they were moving through it all so fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't. Yeah. It's not like you get a day to shoot here, a day to shoot there. It's all happening. So.
Mm-hmm.
Another fun fact just about the final take that they did. Milton Riche, who plays Romaine, got hurt on his final shot of his scene in that like final take.
Oh no.
And to the point where he had to go to the hospital.
Oh my God.
So as soon as he got done with his section, he was going to the hospital and they just like had to keep going because this is, again, the final chance that they had. And so David Moreau was talking about how that kind of just like escalated everything because now they're all worried about him while they're also trying to finish this and knowing this is their last chance. And he's like, I don't know if that helped or hurt, but like we were all just worried about him and trying to make it through. And it's just a lot of pressure on that last day.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I wonder what would have happened had they not gotten it.
They would have had to settle for a worse take.
I guess so. Yeesh.
Yeah.
We touched for a second on the inspiration, how there was one particular movie that the cinematography at least was inspired by. But the director Moreau began conceiving the idea after he had a nightmare about a bad trip. Then he came up with this sort of concept of taking a drug that causes a disease instead of fixes it. And then just like a series of events, he got startled by an actor in zombie moulage that was filming an episode of The Walking Dead. And he took that as a sign from the god of zombies that he should make his movie.
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Sometimes you just have to wait for the god of zombies to tell you what movie to make.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still waiting. God of zombies, hear me now.
God of zombies, please visit me. Sasha Rutikawa is the actress who plays the woman in the bandages at the very beginning. And in real life, she does acting, but she's also a model, probably more well-known as a model. And her whole kind of like shtick in modeling is her very angelic features and like how beautiful she is. Yeah. And so when she auditioned for this movie, she basically told Moreau, she's like, I really want to do this because I want to change that public perception of myself. Like, I want to do something that's gritty and weird and kind of goes against that.
I love that.
Yeah. And then they worked together to create like a whole backstory for her character too. So his idea was that she's basically patient zero and she's this woman from Eastern Europe who was abducted off of the streets and she was taken to this lab for experimentation. And basically her story, they kind of wanted to speak to how powerful people will prey on people who don't have status or power, which I thought was kind of interesting. They really put thought into that backstory.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. The director also said that when asked what the film symbolizes to him, it's about the uncertainty of the future and how there were going to be major changes. Maybe they'll be good. Maybe they'll be bad. But even if it's dark, we're all in it together. Yeah. It's kind of sweet.
That is kind of sweet.
I'm not sure if that's what I personally got from this movie.
I don't think so either. If I had to speak on it, I would probably say I didn't pick that up, but it's nice.
Yeah.
I always think it's interesting, though, when you, like, find out bits and pieces like that of their intention behind it, mm-hmm. when it doesn't always translate. Like, that's, yeah, I guess I can see it now that he said it, but when I'm watching it, I'm not really feeling like a we're all in this together type of feel.
No, certainly not.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess everybody in the movie had a pretty grim outcome. So in that regard, they were all in it together.
That's true. All in it together, passing the virus from person to person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
But also, there were some, actually a good chunk of people who thought that this was about, like, political discourse, and there was, like, a political affiliation with the meaning, and he said straight up, that's not the case. That was not his intention.
All art is political.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But I get that wasn't his, I think the political aspects that they were probably thinking of maybe weren't his intention.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, last fact for me. Lori Pavi, who plays Anais, so good in this, by the way. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I think there weren't really any bad performances, but I feel like she's the standout.
Sure.
But apparently after they finished their final take, she was like talking to David Moreau. She's like, what did I do? Was it good? Like, she basically just blacked out. She was like so into it that she's like, I don't even remember what I did. Was it good? Is it usable? And apparently the scene with her and Lucille Guillaume when they're on the bike together, she actually bit her on the scene right before she like pushes her off the bike.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I guess Lucille was like, did she fucking bite me? Like, what the fuck? They're good friends in real life is what Moreau says. So it wasn't like a seriously upset issue, but Moreau said that Lori just looked at her and was like, I'm so sorry, Lucille, I don't know what happened, but I had to bite you.
Oh my god, that's too funny.
She was in it.
That actually ties in really well to my last fun fact, which is that Moreau wrote backstories for each character, but also really reinforced to each of the actors that he wanted them to make the characters their own and give them personalities and keep them grounded. So she clearly took that to heart and just decided that her character was a bitey girl.
She's a biter.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just have to lean into the bites.
Yeah. He also said that he wanted the film to have sort of the rhythm of a relay race with each of the characters sort of passing the baton to the other. And I will talk about this more in my like overall rating, but I really enjoyed that we didn't stay with the same character the entire film. That was really fun that we got to see three stories. I have a complaint about that too, but I did enjoy that we got to see three different characters from beginning to end.
Yeah, same. I think, and it maybe made it a little bit easier to film too. Because he talked a lot, like in a lot of interviews, I saw him just like kind of casually referencing the three parts and like each person kind of had their 40 minutes of their story. Yeah. And that was probably enough for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was another interesting thing. Like, I remember the first time I watched it when he just gets put in the van and shot and you're like, well, what now?
Exactly.
So that was a fun way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sorry, I know I said that was my last fact, but I kind of just had like a weird note written down because I know there's a lot of like discussion online about how the virus passes from person to person.
Oh, yeah.
And like if that's really clear in the film.
Mm-hmm.
I did finally find in one interview David Moreau kind of speaking on it where he said he did leave it intentionally vague.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want people to fully 100% know if this was all actually happening or not. Ooh, were they just high on drugs? Or was there actually a zombie outbreak happening?
Mm-hmm.
Up to you. Yeah. So if you watch it and you're like, wait, how does it pass from person to person? That's probably why.
Yeah. Well, see, I read his inspiration and the idea of a drug causing the disease as opposed to healing a disease.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I mean, with the three characters that we follow all did the drug. So was it even passed by blood or whatever? Or is it just everybody who has it has taken the drug? Because, I mean, we're being honest.
Yeah.
Lots of people do lots of drugs.
The only issue I would have with it being the drug would be, like, the first woman. What's her point then? Because she doesn't have any relation to the drug. Like, he just gets it at his friend's house and then also runs into this woman who was kidnapped by... Like, then that would be kind of, like, out of left field.
Well, I mean, it just showcases that it's spreading.
Yeah, I do like the theory that she bleeds all over him, so her blood got on the drugs. And then when the girls are snorting it, they're like, oh, it's wet. We don't care. It's fine. And it's wet because...
Oh, because of her blood.
Is it because of the blood, or is it because he got in the shower with his clothes on? You know, it's like, it's all kind of up for your interpretation. And she also, I mean... Because we never really see, we don't know for sure if Julia got infected. But we also know if Romaine was infected, Anaïs also kissed him and bit him and he started bleeding. So she could have gotten it from his blood too. So it's all kind of a little bit vague. It's a little bit up for you to figure out on your own.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Yeah.
Well.
Should we rate it?
Yep. That's what I was going to say. How scary did you think it was?
I give this a 1.5. I do remember being a little bit on edge when she's skittering around his car in that first scene. And then she just hops right in. I thought, I don't like that one bit. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the only part. I think later when she's like in the hallway, just like creeping around that also, I was like, okay.
Yes.
Get this lady out of here. What is she doing? So I gave it a little bit of a bump for those two parts.
Yeah.
What about you?
I gave it a 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
For very similar reasons. I did not like her little bugness. She was bugging.
She was a skitterer.
She was doing bug shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her little, like, spider move, spidering around. And
yeah.
She was just doing bug shit. And then that was, like, one point. And then another point for just, like, the vibes of it all was just... spooky.
Yeah
So 2.5 out of 5.
I like it.
Yeah.
How sexy did you think it was?
Extremely.
Yeah.
The cinematography of it all, the partying of it all, the blood smearing of it all, the zombies. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, this movie's hot.
I also gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
There is something weird and bloody and primal about this movie, and yes. I get it. Get it a lot.
Yeah. When she's, yeah. When it's like a close-up of her head in the bush,
mm-hmm.
changed me. And yeah. She's like jerking around. And
I think maybe perhaps everywhere. This is too much information, but when they're on the motorcycle together and she's like rubbing the blood on her mouth and putting her fingers in her mouth. Listen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I want to do that with my best friend, but if you're free on Saturday.
I'm already on my way.
Flight booked. Moped rented.
Can you rent mopeds in LA?
Probably. You can do anything in LA.
Yeah, okay. Good point. If you have enough money. How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1 just kind of for the vibes of it all. Like, there's not anything like... I'm glad I was right. There was a few, like, cracky sounds and stuff, which I was nervous about for you, but it wasn't, like, related to – it was just kind of her skittering. Yeah. So I hoped that was okay. But, yeah, it was just kind of, like, a little bit of a bump for the vibe of it all, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I also gave it a 1. Nothing really, like, stuck out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like a paramilitary.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that word.
Yeah.
In the Wikipedia article.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure I got to use it.
Yes. I'm glad you could.
Yeah. But like that, like they have that in like The Purge and that really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
It's valid.
Yeah.
All right. Overall, what did you think of Mads with a capital S?
I mean... minus an entire point for stylizing it like that for absolutely no reason. Just kidding. But this movie is a feat of cinematography And that alone accounts for a majority of the score that I do give it. The acting was good. The tone was immaculate. Really, the only thing that threw me off here was that there really wasn't a plot. A story was being told. You can tell a story without a plot. In fact, there were three stories, but getting infected by someone and then being infected, like, that's not a plot. I don't know. I didn't have a chance to get attached to the characters, which is also a little unfair for me to complain about, because I did enjoy that we got to follow three different characters. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's unreasonable to want a little bit of character development. And I was just trying to find a way to justify what my heart tells me this movie is score is. And I hadn't used the there's no plot excuse in a really long time. So anyway, I gave it a 4.
Katie.
Yeah.
This is our 5th movie in a row that we agree on.
Wow.
Perfectly agree on.
Well, not all.
Not all. No, not every rating. That's only happened overall one time. Rating.
Yes. Okay, yes.
But our overall ratings for the last 5 movies have been the same, which is pretty crazy.
And you've been bitching to me more than usual about how terrible my opinions are. And here we are, 5 weeks in, word for word, same scores.
Yeah, because I also have terrible opinions.
Yeah. We just have terrible opinions about different things is really what it boils down to.
That's so true, yeah. Anyways, I did give this a 4 out of 5 as well. I think this movie is incredible. I think it was in my top 10 for horror movies last year. When it came out, I remember watching it and being like, oh, this is going on the podcast for sure. I'm going to make Katie watch this. So it was just one of those ones that I heard good things about, but didn't know anything. And going in blind was such a treat. And yeah, I agree. I don't think there's a very intricate plot going on. But for me, I think this movie just, it's not about the plot.
No.
It's about the making of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel the same way about One Cut of the Dead. I mean, they do a better with adding in these characters and backstories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when it really boils down to it, like, it's about the feat of what they did rather than the plot. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is like a little bit more forgiving, where I'm like, I'm not going to nitpick it as much as I would another movie, because it's simply not about that.
Yeah.
And that's why it still gets a 4 out of 5 and not like a 2.5 out of 5, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you also have all the acting. The acting's incredible. And the tones.
Yeah.
It's just all good.
Yeah. I want more. And I like, maybe it's because now I've seen it twice. But yeah, now I'm kind of like a little bit attached to the characters more, because like when Romaine got taken away this time, I was like, I kind of miss Romaine already. Like, bring her back out, you know?
Yeah, bring back the party.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie's just a really, really fun ride.
Yeah, so fun. Yeah. This is also the first one in a long time that I have, like, immediately, not in a long time, but immediately after watching it, I've been like, who can I make watch this film? Because it's not going to be Dylan. Dylan can't watch it. But, like, somebody's got to watch this. I have to be the one to recommend this movie to someone. Immediately.
The way I was waiting for this to fit into our calendar. I wanted someone else to watch it, too.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Good. Yeah. Anyway.
Would you survive?
No.
Oh.
Would you?
Yeah.
No way. No way. So which character are you? And I will disprove you right now.
First of all, I'm Romaine. I'm on my way to a party. Guess what? Not picking up a hitchhiker. Oh, someone skitters into my vehicle. Guess who's getting out and calling the 911 immediately? Me. This guy.
Okay.
Absolutely not. That woman is not getting anywhere near me.
Okay. So are you telling me that you don't go to the party after that? And you're telling me that you don't do the cocaine?
Well, it depends on how long it takes for them, the police, to round up this woman who just skittered into my vehicle.
But here's the idea, we
have to decide, is it the drugs? Is it the blood? I think it's from her blood. So if she doesn't kill herself on me, then my drugs are fine and I can snort my red cocaine just fine.
Who's to say that she doesn't still kill herself on you even though you're not driving her to the hospital?
Because I am removing myself from the situation. This man man sees a woman covered in bandages with no tongue skitter into his vehicle, and he gets right back in and says, "What's up? Can I take you to the hospital?" That's insane.
We gotta start.
What is he doing? No.
Well, see, I think I didn't put you in his shoes. I put you in the shoes of one of the women in the film, which could be a little unfair of me. But like,
which one? Am I the one whose boyfriend just cheated on her, or am I the one who just cheated with my friend's boyfriend? Because I'm neither.
And is also pregnant.
I would never be pregnant.
So whichever one's not pregnant, that one. We'll start there. But yeah. Like,
I'm also not snorting cocaine though.
But I also don't think that you're saying no if someone's trying to smear blood on you.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't happen until late. Also, if I'm Julia and my friend's like, "Hey, come pick me up somewhere," and I roll up and she's covered in blood with bullet wounds in her stomach and twitching all over the place, respectfully, I'm driving away and calling for help. Like, I can't be a part of that. That's crazy.
I think your primal instinct would take over and you'd be like, "Oh, you're covered in blood. Exactly.
No, that's more of like a,
let me hold you while I take you to the hospital. That's what you would do. And then you
I think I would, she was twitching a lot. She was acting a lot. Also, Julia lives. So if I'm her, easy peasy.
No way does she live.
I'm mopeding away. They're writing a sequel with her.
Well, but how long does she live through that sequel? She's probably only the first 40 minutes.
Yeah, at least 30 to 40
She's
minutes.
She's infected.
You think?
Yeah, with the giggling, the laughing uncontrollably. That's one of the signs of the times.
See, I kind of thought that was just her, like, losing
relief.
It.
Yeah.
Not even relief, just like, oh, everything's fucked.
Yeah.
Like, almost like a hysterical giving up.
Yeah.
But I guess that's another part that could be open for interpretation. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just...
You can live. That's fine. I don't.
Which one are you? You're snorting the red cocaine.
Yeah.
It's true. You are in your rebellious era.
I had one zin, okay?
I feel like your mom. I'm like, "Katie, no more zins. Enough."
We left it on the counter of the hotel for whoever came in next.
That's on that.
Free
yeah.
Zin.
I can't imagine it would be good.
It's not. It sucked. It was ass. Yeah. How that company's in business is beyond me. It's
probably the addictive aspect of it. Keeps people going.
I guess. I was trying to think if I did, but I don't feel addicted to it at all.
Yeah. Well, one usage, feeling disgusted and then leaving it on the counter. All good signs for you. So.
Wait, but how do you, what do you just get addicted to it the first time?
I mean, I think that there are some people who do, but there's probably also people who just like don't find it disgusting the first time they do it.
Which is crazy. Tell us in the comments why you do zin.
Let us know what you're addicted to and how that started. No, don't. I'm so sorry if you're dealing with that. That's terrible.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. Maybe if I was one of the girls, the hitchhiking situation. No, like that's just, nobody's getting infected because that shit's, she's not, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't smoke, so I'm not even pulling the car over.
True. Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's the only reason he pulled over in the first place. Mm-hmm. If I'm one of the girls, if my friend was bloody, her behavior was strange, though. That would be scary.
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat your fucking face, Julie.
I wonder if that was scripted.
I don't know. That's my favorite line from the whole movie, though.
Yeah, it's a good one. There's, like, not a whole lot of lineage happening in the movie. There's not a whole lot of dialogue.
Yeah, not really.
It's mostly, like, clicking. Bugging.
Just like, bug oh, noises. I'm pregnant with your boyfriend's baby.
Yikes.
Yikes. Well.
All right. Well, it's a no from me.
I just think I'm better. I don't know.
Okay, fine. You usually are.
Although I'm probably dying eventually. If it's a whole outbreak. Well, who knows? Maybe it was all just a bad trip. In which case, they're all alive, maybe. Yeah. Who's to say? Not me. All right, well, next week, I don't think you have to predict it. You've already seen it. It was your request.
Mm-hmm.
Next week is Thanksgiving week. So in honor of that, Katie has picked the movie Thanksgiving.
It's, you know what? It's almost unfair of us to have to do two cinematic masterpieces in a row. Because Thanksgiving is absolutely a cinematic masterpiece.
Yeah.
Didn't age well.
They never do.
No. But fuck, it's so funny.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in years, so I'm excited to revisit.
Yeah, there's really no need to watch it more than the one time.
No, it's really a one and done, but I am going to rewatch it because I don't remember a lot of it.
Yeah, I will also rewatch it.
Yeah. I'm excited, though. Little Thanksgiving special.
Yeah. There's only so many Thanksgiving horror films. This one and the one with McDreamy. McSteamy? McDreamy.
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 Yeah.
Did we like that one? I didn't watch it. Did you like that one?
I didn't like it as much as some people did. Mm. It was fine. I also just like don't really like Eli Roth, so.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
He's the director.
It sounds familiar. What else has he directed?
The Hostel series. We've talked about him before.
Oh.
He's like the Hostel was like not like the original torture porn, but like
oh dear.
Maybe popularize the genre a little bit.
Oh god.
Yeah, I can't imagine you're gonna be a fan of his, but stranger things have happened, so. It feels like people who really love Eli Roth also really love like Terrifier.
Well, that's torture porn, so that checks out.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
That movie wasn't, to be clear, but.
What?
Thanksgiving
the
wasn't.
Thanksgiving one. Is that what it's called? Thanksgiving?
Like, mm-hmm.
What a stupid name.
Thanksgiving was taken, so.
Then make a movie about a different holiday. I don't know.
Well, they can't. This one's, you know, open for retail. Real estate? Open for real estate. Were they going to make a Halloween movie? Don't be stupid, Katie. Grow up. Wait, if you had to make a holiday-themed horror movie, what holiday are you picking?
Oh, tell us that in the comments. I want to know.
Tell us that in the comments, and then that's how we're going to start our episode. Wait till next week to find out which holiday we would pick.
Oh, well, I was just going to tell them, but...
No, we're going to make them wait, because we're doing a holiday episode next week. We got to talk about it then.
Okay, you're right. Yep. Tune in next week to find out what movie... I'll even give you a little synopsis of mine.
Great. Well, you're going to hear the plot of Katie's holiday movie.
Mm-hmm. Which holiday is it going to be? Tune in next week to find out.
Find out next week? That's hot. All right. Please feel free to like and subscribe.
Just do that. Don't feel free. Just do it.
Great. Yeah. Nothing like a good threat to end on. All right.
I'm not threatening anyone, but.
Well, you should.
Oh, God. Of course.
All right. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.